From the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Lean Local with Jim Schmidt, a weekly program focusing on local issues, prominent local candidates, political experts, and community leaders, helping to build better communities. This is Lean Local. And now, here's your host, former Green Bay Mayor Jim Schmidt.
Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of Lean Local with me. I'm your host, Jim Schmidt. And for those of you who may be listening for the first time, this is a show where we do what we say. We do Lean Local. It's all about what's going on in the local Greater Green Bay community. And that's not to say we're not concerned about, you know, Israel and the Ukraine and what's going on in Madison. A lot of bills the governor's signing right now. But we're going to spend the next hour just talking about what's going on locally. And the other reason I chose the name Lean Local is this isn't a program where we lean left or we lean right. You know, it's all about leaning local and into our own communities. And many of you know, and I just think it's worth repeating that when your vote and your taxes, nothing affects you more than the local economy, the local tax rate, the local services. And that's where we can have the loudest voice. And I'm hoping that this program helps educate you a little bit more or informs you, I should say, a little bit more on what's going on locally. So we've had some great guests on in the past. We've had some mayors and village presidents. But today, I did this by design. We have two community leaders, both female leaders and both mothers. So I can be the first to wish you Happy Mother's Day.
Well, thank you, Jim.
Yes, yeah, do that. That's why. And then I got... we have Mrs. Hinkfist, Alderperson Hinkfist, coming on after you. But Mary Kardoski, who I think all of you know, Mary Kardoski is the village president of the village of Ashwaubenon. And if you've driven by there or through there, I mean, there's more cranes in the air and more development going on in Ashwaubenon. It's, 17,000-18,000 people that live in Ashwaubenon, but... You know, they get 30,000 people that go there every day to work. And I think managing that, the infrastructure, and but you've really, it appears like you're leaning a lot more into the residential side. But we're going to talk about that. So welcome, Mary Kardoski, Village President of the Village of Ashwaubenon.
Thank you, Jim. Yeah, it's nice to be here.
We've worked together, so we kind of know each other. And I do want to say, you know, I ran the tables for 16 years and Paul with 8, but you've gone through some village presidents for whatever reason, right? I mean, you had really two deaths, if you think about it. Nubs DeClean, who was awesome, and then Mike Obinger, and you filled, you were appointed after he was in. And I always said about, and I said this to them, but I just think Jerry was such a statesman. You know, it's what a politician should be. And of course, Ted Pampern was the biggest cheerleader you've ever had.
Yeah, he was. He's a huge Packers supporter
also. Are you in touch with either of those guys? Like, I want to talk about your style of management, but do you talk to Ted or?
I do. Him and I talk often. I just had supper with his son last night.
Nice.
Yeah. So he's an Ashwaubenon resident.
Good.
And him and his wife. And
all right. And how about Jerry? You see him around?
I do. I see him in church.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
They're at Western.
Yeah.
I see him at Western all the time.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
Just a great... Well, you've had,
great guy.
Great. Well, you know, and I think that's why Ashwaubenon is doing as well as it is. You've had good leadership over the past, and you're filling those shoes. You were appointed in what year?
2017. As president.
After Mike Obinger's passing.
Correct.
And then you were elected by the residents of the village.
Correct. In
2019.
In 2019, and then again in 2022.
So you do 3-year terms?
Correct.
All right. So you'll be there through the draft, will you? Yeah.
I'm planning on being reelected in April.
Oh, so it's April in the draft?
Next April.
All right. Okay. I don't want to get too far ahead of it. But I mean, we do talk a lot about the draft. And I want to talk to you a little bit about that. But before I do, I want to just a little bit more about you before we get into the X's and O's of the village of Ashwaubenon. You don't really have a big political science background. I'm interested. People like you, I think, are sometimes the better leaders in that you didn't really grow up in politics, right?
I did not.
So tell me about how you got to where you are now.
So many years, well, I ran four beauty shops when I was 20 years old. I bought four beauty shops.
That is work. And you got to be part counselor too.
Yes, yes. I had 24 employees when I was 20 years old. My mother had passed away, so I piled my hair on my head and got a great big loan, and I bought four salons. I still am a hairdresser. My husband and I used to watch village board meetings on TV. So when Nubs DeKleen got elected as president, I actually interviewed for his trustee position.
Oh, mm-hmm.
I did not get it, but I did get appointed to the Christmas decoration committee.
Nice. He still wanted your vote, but he just didn't want to be an adversary, but okay, put her on. Yes. Okay. The beautification committee, but yours was even a little less than that because you were locked into a couple months. Well, anyway, correct. So you joined the Christmas committee.
I did. And then the next time that position came up for election, I went out and I won the election. And
as a trustee?
As a trustee.
Okay.
I have now been actually on our board for 19 years since 2005. So.
All right. So they must have liked your Christmas decorations.
I asked Mike Obinger. He was also on the committee one time. I said, Mike, they've got this really cute little boy that's on the inside of that wreath. Can we buy him with the wreath too?
Right.
And he's like, no.
It's my grandson. Yeah. Hey, I think that's interesting. I've talked to so many people and I don't know, did you grow up thinking you're going to be the village president?
Absolutely not.
Right.
Absolutely.
I talked to a guy that is in the assembly and just got, I don't know, he got appointed like Christmas trees. Community sales guy, you know, when like, you know, churches are Christmas, they buy a lot and then somebody's got to work the trees and sell them. You got to be there all night and it's freezing. But you know, when you get involved, I mean, you kind of get the bug a little bit, right?
Yeah. Yeah. It's, you know, being in the former position of owning salons for all those years, I'm used to people having problems.
Yeah.
So it's always makes you feel great when an issue comes up and you can get it solved.
Yeah, I would say that salon thing because I'm married to a hairdresser.
Yeah.
But you make people feel good.
Correct.
And I think that's what we try to do in politics. Correct. We're not always successful, and maybe not every haircut is perfect either. But I really think that's what keeps us in the game is that, you know, people, they're like, this is awesome what you're doing, you know? And especially when they say, well, I didn't really think you knew what you were doing when you started, but now I see it, and that's always cool stuff.
Yeah.
So what is the makeup of your government over there?
So we have a village board. We have six trustees and myself. I act as a trustee.
You vote.
I vote. You had veto power. I don't have veto power. I you know, look over the agendas and
you run the meeting.
And run the meeting.
Okay.
By ordinance, the village president has to chair plan board.
Yeah.
Site plan, stuff like that.
Do you, with it, are you guys on staggered terms or are you all up at one time?
The north side of our board was just reelected this April. My election is next year, and then the south side of the board is the following year.
All right, so there's an election in Schwabenland every year.
Correct.
All right, well, that keeps people in the loop a little bit, right?
Correct.
I mean, that's interesting. Okay, so hairdresser to Christmas committee, trustee, president. Do you still do that hair, those salons?
A very limited number.
Yeah, because, boy, that's tough to do both.
Well, but, you know, Jim, that really keeps me connected to people. People will actually stop at the salon, stand in the doorway, and talk to me about government stuff, but they don't come into my office at Village Hall and talk about it. They feel more comfortable coming there.
So, yep.
And I've been doing this now for 46 years, so I know a lot of the people in Ashwaubenon.
Yeah, I probably know all 17. What is your population? 17, 18, 19?
It's 17,000, well, a little under 17,000. But that's before so many of the new apartments were built.
I want to get to that because whether they're a homeowner or they're an apartment, they're a voting resident.
Correct.
Right? As long as they live there.
Correct.
Do you know how many units you've built in the last 5 years?
Oh.
I mean, you had to build 800,000?
Well,
you know, I don't mean to put you on the spot. I just want to say that it's obvious where you're building, and they're building all over because the Titletown apartments are there. We just had the manager of those apartments on our show. The Holmgren Way has some nice development going on. So, you know, I would guess you're going to increase your population by at least 1,000 people.
And then We also have a residential development that's down by the old golf course, down by Highland Ridge, by Sandacres Park.
Oh, okay, right.
That's single family homes. So we're adding, they're adding a lot of those. That's really going gangbusters.
Single family homes. We need those everywhere. Correct. You know, I mean, we need all sorts of housing. I mean, the beauty of Green Bay, a greater Green Bay, is, we say we have a diverse population. We have a diverse population of income. You know, we need some affordable housing, but we also need some of that stuff out in Shelter Creek and that, you know, there's some pretty wealthy people that want to spend their money in their house. Why not?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, we've got, another development we've got is the Alden Station site, which is the old Schneider site on Broadway.
And what's going there?
Residential homes. They have some high-rise condos.
Right.
And that's, connected. We just did the bridge that connects to Ashwaubomay Park.
You know, and when people buy a home now, and I know a little bit about real estate, I mean, it's really the environment they're buying in, right? And that trail thing, I mean, you know that.
Correct. Correct. People like trails, and that's their ability to go and be along the water.
Right. And you've got the water.
Yeah. I grew up actually out in Suamico, and I've always said for years, you don't grow any more waterfront.
No.
You got what you got.
Oh yeah. They're just not making that anymore. And the DNR try to work with those guys to get any kind of water. And so these apartments that you're building, are they built for a clientele? You know what I'm kind of saying?
No, they're market rate apartments. We do have a affordable housing unit apartments that is on Mike McCarthy, but otherwise they're market rate apartments.
And I'm assuming the people, young professionals or early retirees. I mean, who do you market to? Or is it anybody that wants to? Okay.
And they market to anybody that wants to rent them.
All right, well, that's cool. That's a great place to live, and it's new construction, which some people really they feel like they're in the hip place, and I think that's cool. Hey, I want to talk to you about a couple other things, but I think we're going to break here. But I sure want to talk to you about some of the amenities: Capital Credit Union, the Rush Expo, the whole. And then I want to eventually get to the NFL draft. So, we're interested in what you're doing and what your long term plans are. Mary Kardashian, we're going to be right back. Lean Local with Jim Schmidt. Welcome back to Lean Local with Jim Schmidt. We have a very special guest, Mary Kardoski, the village president of Ashwaubenon. And there's just so much going on. We talked just a few minutes ago about some of the residential and some of the neat things that are happening. But there's also some, I guess I can use the word catalyst, but some major projects that have happened under your watch. And I think everybody, let's just start. Everybody talks about the mall. Right? Everybody knows the mall. And how is that doing? I know retail and people moving out and COVID, but how is that doing?
I would say that if you go into the mall, I believe every space is filled.
Oh, good.
We have so many activities in the village and the surrounding area that there's so many people here that there's like, oh, we have a couple hours to spend. Let's go down to the mall and walk around and buy stuff. And so that's really been a very good.
All right. And then down the road, some of the newer projects, right? Capital Credit. Tell me about that.
Oh, so Capital Credit Union Park, there was a CTI building. It was a concrete place. It was actually owned by
Fred,
Paper Converting, I think, at one point.
Okay.
And they owned it, whoever owned it. And we bought that and we turned it into Capital Credit Union Park, which is the home of the Green Bay Rockers. That was done quickly. Thank God we had a very good team that worked on that. So that that got done very quick.
Yeah, sure did.
And then as we move along, I mean, the Rush Expo, which is...
Yeah, Troy and I didn't even fight once for that. We got along through the whole thing. That is an amazing building. Of course, with the draft coming, that will be very well utilized. It is very busy. The Rush Expo is very busy. So,
what kind of events? I mean, I'll be honest with you, I haven't been there lately.
They have all different kinds of events. They had car shows.
Oh, yeah.
They had a big ambulance
show.
They brought in like a Eagle 3 helicopter, and they parked a couple helicopters around.
Cool.
And yeah.
Yeah, that's a nice looking building. So I want to talk a little bit about, well, then you have one other thing that we talked about at break.
Yes, the Railroad Museum, which is owned by Green Bay.
Yes, you're welcome. did you hit your fundraising goal?
They did.
I believe
they did. They had an event last week, but I was at a League of Municipality meeting, so I couldn't go.
Okay.
But,
I read something where they were like within millions, which is, I mean, that was over 20 million, wasn't it? Or close to 20?
Yes, that will be an amazing project when it's done.
And that's national, which is really cool.
Correct.
You know, we have, it's kind of like the Packers. I mean, it's like, it's going to have that kind of branding to it.
Yeah.
And like the Shrine might have someday. I mean, we have some things that obviously support Northeast Wisconsin and Wisconsin, but then there's other things, you know, that put you on the map coast to coast.
And you know, well, you know that Green Bay is bringing into different cruise ships, and people on cruise ships go on excursions.
Yeah.
So they go to that Railroad Museum, and, you know, it's right in our backyard, and we take it for granted.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. A number of things that I remember when we did that, that passport in your own city. I think there's people who live here, and I think a lot of people, maybe they haven't, I hope so, they've been to the Railroad Museum, but like the Botanical Gardens, Northland Hotel, people need to, because then they become our ambassadors.
Correct.
And we don't have to advertise.
Correct.
You know, everybody knows the Packers and they're awesome, but there's so much more than football here, and we're trying to work on that. Hey, let's talk about the draft. I mean, you're instrumental in the meetings. What do you think? Can you handle 400,000 people?
Yes.
Of course, you better say yes.
We have to, right?
Right, that's the answer.
We are Green Bay, and we will handle it. Yes, there's been many meetings.
Yeah.
I was not able to go to Detroit. We sent a team of 5 people out there. I had to stay with my sister. But, it will be interesting. It will be, I think, bigger than a Packer game for 3 days in a row. We will have more people.
Oh, yeah. Packers, what are they only seat? What, 85,000, 80,000? And you're going to have 400,000, 500,000 people here. Oh, that's going to be, it's going to be great. So are you in the loop on these meetings? Are they, you know, how is this working? Because, you know, as, you know, they say, we're on the clock. I mean, it's 11 months away, but still it's only 11 months away.
So it's only 11 months. We've had meetings. We have internal meetings at the village. We have 6 different meeting groups that get together and discuss things and how we're going to handle stuff because, you know, the draft, Lambeau is in Green Bay, but the rest of around the draft area is probably going to be a large portion of Ashwaubenon.
Oh, yeah, no doubt. Hey, there's a lot of things that excite me about the draft. One is, I've said this, you know, I think everyone in greater Green Bay should make at least an extra $2,000 that week. Now, I don't know, they can, you know, bartend, Uber, there's just a lot, or you can rent your room out in your house or rent your house out, then you can make some serious bank. But I just think it's an opportunity. But for you as a municipal leader, this is an opportunity to showcase your community. Like, I like your video, right?
Yes.
And you know, we got to get in front of people and talk about education opportunities here.
Yes, yes. We have a committee that is working on beautification around the draft area, all the entrances coming into Ashwaubenon, going out of Ashwaubenon. How can we make everything look better? My team that went there said that in Detroit there was not one speck of garbage anywhere.
And the signs, and you have, I don't know if you have wooden signs or metal signs for the village, but you want those all painted. You want them to look
exactly
bright. And, you know, Detroit, I mean, they've got an awesome mayor over there. And that doesn't surprise me at all that it was like Disney World in terms of there wasn't a gum wrapper on the ground.
Right, right. Yeah. So we'll do one better.
Well, that's great. And I think we will. I think the community is very excited about that. And, you know, but I don't want to lose sight of why your village is so successful. I mean, tell me just a couple things. I mean, I think a lot of people have gone to your website and seen the video, but what are you most proud of Ashwaubenon?
We have a very engaged community. Our citizens, our residents are very engaged. That helps a lot. We have an awesome staff. Our board works very well together. We don't always agree, but we work well together to progress the city, to make things go and move forward. Our government is smaller, so it's efficient.
Yeah.
Everybody wears 14 different hats, and then the bottom line on the contract, you know, is, and other duties as assigned.
Yeah.
So
that's where you get them.
Yeah.
Which is great. All right. And I don't want to lose sight of your schools. Thank you.
Yes, our schools are very good. We do have a lot of open enrolled students, which a lot of people have always commented on.
Right.
But a lot of those open enrolled students are people who work in the village,
right,
and they bring their kids to the school on their way to work.
Right. And like I said, I think I'm close with the numbers. You have like over 20,000 people that come to your village to work.
Correct.
So it's... we're going to run out of time. The future development, what's up your sleeve that you can share with us?
On Mike McCarthy, you know, we have the Commonplace building. They're putting forward building number 2. We have the Railroad Museum,
right.
Phase 2 of the Highland Ridge. We're reconstructing Lombardi Access Road.
Oh, cool.
Some Titletown Fitness, the Bellin. Bellin Youth Adolescent.
I see your list. You have more, but I got to cut you off.
That's
hey, okay. Thank you for coming in, Mary. And, you know, keep up the good work in the village. I mean, we're all working on this thing together. So, and happy Mother's Day to you.
Thank you very much, right. Jim.
From the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Lean Local with Jim Schmidt, a weekly program focusing on local issues, prominent local candidates, political experts, and community leaders, helping to build better communities. This is Lean Local. And now, here's your host, former Green Bay Mayor, Jim Schmidt.
Welcome back to Lean Local. I'm your host, Jim Schmidt, and I want to sure thank Mary, again, for coming in from the village of Ashwaubenon, president, telling us what's going on there, the draft and all the development. She's Mary Kardoski. She's doing a good job over there and glad she stopped in here. Now we're moving back to the city of Green Bay with another great leader. And I had two ladies on today because it's Mother's Day. So happy Mother's Day to you, Kathy.
Oh, I thought it was just because of our strength.
Okay, we'll get to that. Yes, because of your strength. You had two strong leaders. Kathy Hinkvis, who I think you know that name. It's a very, very strong name in Greater Green Bay. And Kathy was just recently, in April, elected to represent the District 12, which is the 9,000-10,000 people on the far west side of Green Bay. And congratulations to you. I know you worked hard.
Thanks, Jim. Yeah. I did. And, you know, I ran 6 years ago.
I know.
And it was an open seat, and when Jesse decided to retire and it was another open seat, I threw my hat in the ring. I had worked and continue to work and love my neighborhood.
Yeah. That's really special to get elected, isn't it? I mean, they are putting their trust in you.
Exactly. And that was one of the things that I talked about a lot at the doors was this is really the one position in politics where you are one-on-one with the customer.
Yeah.
They've got issues and they expect you to help them walk them through. And, you know, I advocate for anybody in our district, things that they need and advocate for the city. So that's what I told them is who do you want advocating? Because I'll be there for you.
And look, I've known you for a little while. You work hard. And I think what people want is someone who's kind of like them, but works a lot harder. You know, because they don't want to go to those meetings. But they need someone to carry the message. And yeah, I was delighted when I saw that you'd won. But you're not new to this whole game, right? I mean, tell us a little bit about your growing up. I mean,
Am I new to politics? No.
No.
But never, you know, if you'd asked me 20 years ago, I would have told you, no, I'm not running. I would not run as a candidate. I'm really good behind the scenes. But, you know, I grew up on the west side of De Pere. Mom and dad still living, thank God. My dad was an electrician.
And both your parents are living?
Yes. Okay. Both of my parents.
Okay, because your mom's in Ashwaubenon.
She's in the VIP club all these things. So she and Mary are very close.
She's got
at a lot of volunteer work.
And I know your mother as well. She's got a lot of energy.
Yeah, she does. And she's 83. I accidentally put on Facebook she was 85, and
I bet she called.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. So you grew up in West Side DePere. Tell me about. I want a little more about the political background that you have.
Well, I grew up in West DePere. Went to school, graduated in nursing, worked in that for a little while, and figured out that was kind of a box. You were not allowed to think outside the box you were put in based on your licensing, which makes sense. And then I started working for Humana. Loved my job at Humana. That's where I ended up getting my business degree, and slowly worked. I shouldn't say slowly, worked my way up and was vice president of operations when I left.
Well,
and that was all around the world. So operations all over.
Good business background. I mean, Humana's a great company. But you also, I don't want to say you married into politics, but just tell me a little bit about your husband.
Well, I did marry into politics.
I don't want to say it.
because I met him through Leadership Green Bay.
Yeah.
And we were really good friends, and we ended up dating and marrying, and it's been wonderful, 33 years. And during that time, I worked on Rosemary's campaigns. I think Tim had 12 campaigns in the first 5 years.
So just for the listeners, we're obviously talking with Kathy Hinkfist, who is the newly elected alder person for the 12th district of the city of Green Bay. But her husband is Judge Tim Hinkfist, who was he on the city council?
He was city council.
Okay, he's on county board.
County board, yeah, okay. Both of them, both when the Packers came in. And did the renovations early on, and really got into the campaigns, loved the strategy aspect of it, and became very active. And then I got into nonprofit. And when I got into the nonprofit world and I left, that's when I became interested in running, because we have so many fantastic nonprofits in the city of Green Bay that we need to look to when we need to solve problems. And that was really part of the impetus, besides my background, my skills. But it was something that hit home to me that if you really want to make change, you got to be part of it.
And to support the nonprofits that are making that change is a good strategy versus trying to do it yourself.
Oh, absolutely. You know, and
sometimes government gets into stuff that somebody else knows it better than we do.
Well, they're not experts.
Right.
Homelessness, women's rights, the center out there for women.
Right.
The women and the executive directors of these places are absolutely experts in the work that they do. And we need to rely on them.
You look at Terry Ruskard, right?
Yes.
And I work for her. And just, you know, it's every day, all day. But she's into that like no one else. I mean, if I was ever going to get into anything to do with the homeless, that is the first phone call I'd make. Because they know.
They're passionate and they're willing to try a lot of new things.
Right. And they know their customers. They don't sit in an office. They are out with the homeless talking to them. Matter of fact, I want to interview, this is your show, but next week on Lean Local, we're bringing in two homeless people and we're going to talk to them about this community and why are they in Green Bay? Do they want to get out of Green Bay? Has Green Bay helped them? You know what I mean? It's going to be a good conversation for our listeners to listen to on having homeless people come in. And one of the guys coming in, it's sad, but we're not that far away from being homeless. I mean, some people, you know, you lose a restaurant and maybe turn to alcohol or something, that's a spiral and you may end up homeless sooner than you think. But that's next week. I'll talk about you. I'm glad to hear you say, Kathy, that I've had, I don't know how many candidates I've had on. I think you're only the second one that mentioned homelessness. That's a real issue. And as I said to someone, if we would, every time we talk about the NFL draft, we spend as much time talking about the homeless or fentanyl, I think we'd have a better city. Because I love the NFL draft. I just don't
is big and it's going to be in Green Bay and we need to take advantage of it for the small businnesses, large businesses, and I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah,
making sure everybody's safe.
So before you got elected, you were appointed to the redevelopment?
Yes, I've been on the redevelopment authority for 6 years. So you appointed me to the redevelopment.
I was just waiting for you to say that. Yeah, I know.
Yes,
I know
I appointed you. After I lost to Jesse.
I know, six years ago.
And
I thought you were talented.
Great.
Just because you lose doesn't mean you weren't the best. It just means somebody who got more votes.
Exactly.
And that's why I put you on the redevelopment authority, which is where it happens in Green Bay.
I love the redevelopment authority. Mm-hmm. All of the developments coming through economic development has to continue across this city. I think there's a lot going on the east side. There's a lot going on downtown. We got some new stuff coming on the west side, but I'd like to see some more investment over there.
Well, even though it's a small investment, it's just nice to see new investment. Quick Trip, I think, is great that you're putting on. That's been talked about, but I think that's you finally breaking ground. You finally approved it. I just saw that in the paper, I don't know, last week or something. So
2 days ago.
2 days ago. Sunday. So Planning Commission, you ran. What do you want to accomplish now that you've, I don't want to say you're more powerful, but you have more say, right? You're an elected official versus a commissioner. So what are some of the things you want to accomplish?
Well, I think it's really important to keep affordable housing or housing in Green Bay affordable. And we've got four huge units coming on this year alone in 2024 to help, so that when people are working downtown Green Bay, they can get affordable housing if they need it.
Right.
The other thing is taking a look at how we do things differently. On the west side, we're going to be putting, I can't remember the name of the street, it's by Walmart, but it's going to go through, and there's new homes going up on smaller lots, little different streets.
I think that's terrific that you're building some single family homes because like you said, we need housing for everyone, but everyone includes families that can afford a single family home. We just don't have any that are, you know, it's such a limited supply right now and it's just driving up the price. And then I think you want to have there's some people that have done quite well in life and they don't want to do the raking or the shoveling anymore. So they want to go into a high end condo. And I think we got to look more at that.
I would agree with that, Jim. I would love to see more high-end condos. And I've talked with people on the RDA and different developers that come in. But from my understanding, you almost have to have 80% of them sold for the financing aspect of it. So I definitely hope. I know Brian Johnson's got that on his list.
Yeah.
Looking at downtown.
Yeah. I think that's to have a healthy downtown. I think we're doing a lot of stuff right. But, you know, it's never done, right? Oh, my God.
No. It's
crazy how much work you get to do. So as an elected official, what committees will you be chairing or serving on?
I am on the finance committee and I am vice chair of finance and I'm also on personnel. And then I'm a representative on the redevelopment authority, which I was extremely pleased because I'd want to continue that work. There's a lot of development that's coming into Green Bay and people want to develop here.
Yes, I would agree.
And that's exciting.
I agree because it is the city and city's not going anywhere. And it's got a very, very, over $6 billion worth. So, I mean, then we've got some great, you know, like across the street, Schreiber, we've got some great businesses that are Imperial that are located here. So tell me a little bit about how do you think the city's doing? I mean, you ran for office. You didn't just run because you wanted to be an alderman. You ran because... Do you think we're doing okay? Do you think the finances are in line? Do you think the personnel, we're getting the best of the best? I mean, that's your job now is you.
Yeah, that's kind of a loaded question.
Okay. We got time. We got time.
You know, I have not sat down and looked at all of the finances, but from my perspective, you know, where we need to be putting staff is on the front line. People that are out with the customers, out with our constituents every day and try to do things more efficiently. And that's something that, you know, I'm definitely going to be looking at.
Yeah.
Because anytime you have, you know, you have a huge amount of staff, that's where most of your budget is. So you want to make sure that you're efficient with the staff that you have.
Oh, yeah. 80% is personnel.
There you go.
It's unbelievable what we spend or what the city spends on. And it is. That's not uncommon to other municipalities, but people have to understand that, you know, everybody's like, oh, can we afford this new truck? It's like, who's driving the truck, you know, and how often are they going to, you know, it's like we need a new fire station. Well, it's going to employ 9 people. Well, really, it's going to employ 27 because it's shift work, you know.
It's shift work,
And so, I mean, you'll see that all, you know that. I'm not telling you anything you don't know. I'm just saying that I think personnel and finance, I'm glad you're on both those committees because they go hand in hand because the largest expenses are going to be in your personnel, benefits, retirement, all that kind of stuff.
Exactly. And we have opportunity for shared revenue. I mean, we've expanded our police and our fire out to Bellevue. We've expanded into other communities because, I mean, we have a top-of-the-line fire department, top-of-the-line police department. So being able to provide those shared services to other communities and be reimbursed, I think, says a lot for our city.
Yeah. That has been tried before. That's not easy to do. I don't know if it's procuralism, if it's fear of being annexed, but I'm glad we're working closely with other municipalities to help reduce costs for everybody. Mm-hmm. And I think that's really important. We got a couple minutes here, but I do want to talk to you about some of the things that are going on development. There's a big project downtown that's proposed, and yes. That went through your committee?
Yes, it did.
Was it approved in your committee?
Yes, it was. You're talking about the six-story out here?
Right here on Cherry
yes.
Street.
Yes.
So where's that at then?
Well, we had a meeting. The church has some concerns. So right now, yes. And we had a meeting on that, made notes so that we make sure that we address them. But it's coming in front of the council, I think, next week or in 2 weeks.
At two readings, right?
It's just, yes.
Okay. Wow.
And it would be absolutely awesome on that corner. We're bringing in something that does not exist here that we need. You talked about condos. They're not necessarily condos, but they're high-end apartments with a lot of services that you see in big cities, like dog walking. There's going to be a dog place some, there. And I mean, just really
amenities. I've toured some of those in Indianapolis and some other places, and that I know what you're talking about. And I think there's a market for that.
Absolutely.
I really believe there is. Should I bring up the Packer statue? Because I don't think you should move that. Are you moving it?
The statue? The one that's right over here?
Yeah.
I'm sorry, Jim, but it's a big, huge development.
They can work around it. They can work around it. Well, we're going to go to break. I want to come back. I'm going to talk a lot about some other projects you have going on. Then I want to get your take your temperature on the NFL draft. What you think, how do you think that's going to help us, or if you have any concerns, but we talked a little bit. It's an opportunity. All right, stick around. We're going to be right back. This is Lean Local with Jim Schmidt, our very special guest, alderperson Kathy Hinkfuss.
Suits. Gets you going.
Doesn't it? That's a great show. I love it. Anyway, we're back with Lean Local. I'm your host, Jim Schmidt, and we're talking with Kathy Hinkfuss, newly elected alderperson on the west side, but just an extensive background in politics. Again, the Hinkfuss comes from Judge Hinkfuss, and of course, her mother-in-law, Rosemary, served in the state assembly for many years, and Mr. Hinkfuss was just so involved in this community as one of the top attorneys in the state, but for sure here in Brown County. And you've taken all that knowledge and rolled it into Kathy Hinkfuss, who is now serving on the city council. And I appreciate you doing that. So we left talking about a major, major project that the city's taking on, and that's in Cherry Street, the parking lot, and a major development that's going to be different for our community. It's so high end, right?
I mean, yes. Yes, and it's about time. I mean, this is something that Green Bay is definitely needing based on the housing studies that's been done, based on the feedback, based on meetings. This is something that Green Bay is in need of, and we need to keep, you know, at the forefront. We're right. The third largest city in the state of Wisconsin, and I think we need to think like that.
Right, and I think when you look at who can afford that, I don't know if that's the question. It's like, look at the businesses that pay quite well. Schreiber, Bellin, you know, we got healthcare is so strong here, you know, and these doctors and, you know, one of my kids is a doctor. That's serious bank. And they want to live in a nice place too.
Well, they want to live in a nice place and they want it easy to do the things that have to be done in your life on a normal day. The workout center there, and I know the YM had some concerns about that, but coming home, being able to go downstairs for your workout, order food. I know my two daughters live out in Denver, and this is standard out there.
Yeah.
It's all over the place. Right. So I think it's time for Green Bay to take that step and really invest.
I will support 98% of it. No, I'll support it.
I'll talk about moving your stat.
Okay. Just bring it up. Hey, I just don't think, I think again, I have these developed, I've dealt with them, and I'm sure you have too, being on RDA, but they're not building it because they want to do something great for Green Bay. They're building it so they can make some money.
Of course.
And
that's called capitalism.
It's, and I'm a capitalist, but to take 16 square feet away isn't going to kill them. That's a huge lot. It's two parking spots. Anyway, we can talk about that some other time. I want to talk about more positive things. Your district is the west side, which is far west side, which is
yes.
kind of the newer, I mean, it's a really nice development. You got some beautiful homes out there. I mean, Shelter Creek and Indian
King of
Trails.
Arms
right,
and-
King of Arms. Do people, and I know they do, I don't know why I asked it like that, but roads is an issue whether you're in a really nice area or not. And how are things going with roads in our beautiful city?
Well, I can tell you from 6 years ago, we definitely made progress on the west side in some neighborhoods. But there's a couple of areas that we definitely need to get done. And I'm chatting with Steve Grenier. He's looking at some new ways to, instead of waiting until the road basically crumbles and then replace it, being able to do it kind of in the middle. So when, let's say if it's on a scale of 1 to 5 and it's a 6, they can go in and make some changes so it'll
get in there before,
before it actually rots.
Before it becomes our second roller coaster.
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Right,
so we have a lot of those on the west side. So I'm definitely on Steve, and hopefully we'll be able to get some of those done.
As much as I love that neighborhood, and they're pretty happy people out there. I mean, just it, by and large, they don't complain a lot about the noise, and the parks are good, but roads, it's an issue everywhere in Green Bay, though. I'm just not saying your district, but I'm glad you're working on that because they will appreciate that.
That is extremely important to them.
Yeah. Okay. So that's extremely important. I want to talk about some social issues, Kathy. You got a heart of gold, you see, but what's going on out there? And we talked a little bit about why you ran for office, but to talk about it and do something are two different things. And some of the social issues, education for one. I mean, you ran the Y. I mean, what do you think about education in Green Bay?
Well, I mean, we have some great schools, but we right now we're looking at closing some. I mean, I think the Board of Education is doing a great job. But if you take a look at the amount of money that comes from the state to fund our education, that has gone down. And I think as a local leader, that's one of the areas that I want to make sure that Madison realizes that.
All right, so you partner with the school district, okay? That's
absolutely.
Cool.
I mean, we have an alderman's handbook, and one of the things that I saw in there, they broke down the dollar. 43 cents goes to schools, 37 cents goes to the city for our city taxes. Yeah. So much goes to TC, and so much goes to the county.
Right.
So when you look at that, and you look at that breakdown, we definitely need to look. I mean, we get billions of dollars sitting down in Madison. So,
yes, I'm aware of
and
that.
And I know it's lean local, but.
No, that's fine, because the schools are local. We've had a school commissioner on here. And I don't think people realize that the majority of their tax bills goes to schools. Because people call me all the time and raise hell. Oh, mayor, that's it. That's it. These taxes are crazy. I'm like, you got your tax bill in front of you? They're like, no. I said, go get it. I'll hold. They come back, and I'm like, okay. And then, see, look at the school. And the schools, but our taxes actually went down or stayed the same.
Yes.
But people, they call the mayor, and right, it's just as long as you're kind to them and say, hey, look, there's four things on your, actually, there's five things on their tax bill. So we just want to make sure we get a return. And I think for the money we spend, are we doing okay? Are we doing good with the proficiency scores in fourth grade? Are we doing okay?
I think our teachers do a fabulous job.
Okay,
and
good.
From what I understand, our schools, I mean, we have a couple of them, but they're doing extremely well. The education on the public side, give it an A+.
All right. I want to circle back. Homelessness and fentanyl are two problems that I hear about because of my new line of work. And I think even more than I heard about, quite honestly, even when I was mayor, I'm not, because I see it every day. And what do you think needs to be done? Or how do you think I can handle that?
Wow.
We have 2 minutes.
Let's see. Okay. I think there's a few things. And I know that the homeless shelter St. John's is working on it this summer. They're taking a look at some of the people that are homeless year round.
Well, they're closed right now.
No, but
yeah, they are. If you look at the website, they list the homeless shelters at St. John's. It says closed. So what do you think as a city we can do about that? 30 seconds.
I think we need to, again, it's affordable housing. It's right. being able to get them into housing. But you also have a portion of the population that's mental health.
Okay.
And that's a whole different issue. And
that needs attention.
That needs big attention.
Right. Okay. Hey, thank you for coming on. You're the best. Kathy Hinkfist, and happy Mother's Day to you.
Thank you, Jim.
Yeah. And your mom. I know her too. So.
Mayor Jim.
Jim's fine. All right. Thank you for joining us. This has been Lean Local with Jim Schmidt. Join us next week. We're going to shift gears a little bit, and we're going to bring a couple homeless people into the studio and talk to them about how Green Bay is doing. Thanks again for joining us. Lean Local with Jim Schmidt. We'll see you next Sunday.